Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
Okay, so today's gospel today is a gospel that really is very... I think when somebody reads it, there's a lot of questions. I think first off, the thing that I want to note is that it says now in verse 2, "Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep's gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches." St. John is saying now, like this moment. And in fact, if you were to travel to Israel, you can find right outside the Church of St. Anne's is this exact place, this exact pool with five porches. They've excavated it, and now in the modern context, like, we can see it, we can visit it. It's very cool. "And in these lay a great multitude of sick people." By the way, this pool is not like a, you know, sometimes we think of it as like a mall water fountain. You know, like the mall water fountains, you go and people throw the quarters in. It's like this very, very superficial, shallow pool. No, this is like a deep pool, like a very deep pool. Like if somebody were to step into it, like, it requires you to have the capacity for somebody to kind of pull you out. That's why the person waits for someone to help him. Because I can't just put myself in there, because if I put myself in there and I'm fully paralyzed, like, I can drown. So when you see the excavation site, it puts a little bit of this stuff in context. That's why it's really important, I think, for many of us to go and to visit the holy sites, because I think it gives you, like, the Bible comes to life. And it says, "In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the water, stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years." Now I'm thinking about this as this man. So for 38 years, he's sitting there by the pool. He's watching time and time again this miracle happen, and he's hoping that someone can come rescue him and throw him into the pool. Now I think to myself, after year 1, after year 5, after year 10, after year 20, how many people actually are in this room? I hate to be embarrassing, but how many people are under the age of 38 here? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. A lot of people in this room are under the age of 38. I know some of you raised your hand even though you're not 30, under the age of 38. You want to show that you're younger. I know, I understand. But 38 years, that's a ridiculous amount of time. That's like a ridiculous, that's 1985 at this point. 1985, this guy has been in this pool since 1985, or waiting outside this pool, hoping that somebody will come visit him. Now I gotta ask you a question. By 1995 or 2005, wouldn't you just throw yourself in? Like, if I drown, I drown. My end result doesn't really matter. Like, I'm over it. Like, I'm over being paralyzed. I'm over being in this condition. I'm over being, you know, just, I would wait by the pool, and the moment the pool gets stirred, I would just roll in. I don't care if I drown. Right? You would think that that would be logic. Like, what good is your life if you're just sitting there waiting year after year after year? And as I was reading this passage this morning, I kind of likened it to us and the church. I kind of likened it to that the church is this fountain. It's this place in which we find healing. And many of us have been standing on the outskirts of the pool, hoping that some miracle will happen, hoping that something will change in our life, hoping that God will come visit us and do something to change the condition of the circumstances that we are in today. And we sit on the outside, sort of like, you know, like the little kid when they come and they enter into a kiddie pool, they put one foot in and one foot out to wait and test to see if the pool is like shallow or it's cold or too warm for them. Like, sometimes we're like that with God. We stand on the outskirts of what we know there is healing, where we know there's opportunity for God to come and to visit, where we know God has the capacity to do something really beautiful and great. And what we do is we basically struggle with actually taking a step forward. 38 years, this guy is laying by this pool in a condition of sheer, utter hopelessness. And for many of us, we've been coming to this pool We've been coming to this place. We've been coming to this holy place where we know miracles, signs, and wonders can happen. And what we've been doing is waiting for somebody else to put us in. Waiting for somebody else to give us the path of healing. Waiting for somebody else to one day maybe speak a word that will touch my heart. Waiting for one day maybe somebody will pray and my circumstances will change. Waiting for one day maybe somebody will pray and then Pope Kyrillus or St. Mary or someone will appear to me and then my life will be changed. So we stand on the outside of the pool playing it safe, not realizing that healing, change, opportunity for life to be different is right before our eyes. And I think for many of us, the struggle is, how often have I come to this font? How often have I come to this pool? How often have I come to this place and things haven't changed? I've been in the same condition. My circumstances are the same. My same anger is the same. My same struggles with patience is the same. My same difficulties that I have with coworkers is the same. My same difficulties that I have with people around me is the same. I have beef with everybody and anyone around me. I can't seem to tolerate anyone. Yeah, I use the word beef. I know. Young people are. The struggles for many of us is, why is the change not happening? Beef, by the way, means conflict. So all the people are whispering to the young people, "What beef? We're in fasting time. It's no lahma." No, we're talking about conflict. For how long are we going to stay in this state in which we know that there is an opportunity for us to step in first? And if we step in first, then the Lord will visit us. I think about this person, I think about myself. I think about this person for 38 years and I think of me. I think of all the times in which God makes himself available and ready to me, makes himself open, desires for us to come to him with all of our shortcomings, all that we have, all of our difficulties, all of our brokenness, all of our hardships, all of our trials, everything. And all he's waiting for us is for an opportunity for us to just offer ourselves back to him. Offer ourselves back to him. Sorry, there's a lot of commotion. I struggle with this man because sometimes I would rather sit outside the pool where I know there's healing and be in my current condition and just hang out in it versus take the leap of faith and throw myself in. Sometimes I say, God, I don't think you are the hope for the hopeless. I don't think you are the help for the helpless. I don't think you are able to change this certain circumstance in my life. This is who I am, and this is who I'm going to be, hate it or love it. How many of us people say that? This is who I am, and this is who I'm going to be, hate it or love it. Take me as I am, or don't take me at all. How many of us think that the circumstances, the struggles that each of us have is like, this is who I am, and this is who the world has to accept, and this is even who God needs to accept? Versus, if we launched out, if we threw ourselves into this pool, if we threw ourselves into this place where there's healing, if we threw ourselves into something that we think is a huge risk, It's going to require change. It's going to require me to live life differently. It's going to require circumstances in my life to maybe be navigated a little bit differently. No, I'd rather stay on the outskirts. I'd rather my circumstances stay exactly as they are for 38 years than do something different. You would think even that guy would find someone to just bring him to a different place. But he just stayed. You know, there's that that expression of, you know, the definition of insanity. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting what? A different result. Sometimes we say that the insane people are the ones that are locked in mental institutions, but actually the insane people are us. Sometimes we're doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. And God is like, maybe, actually certainly, if you do this a little bit differently in me, if you offer yourself fully to me, maybe your circumstances, maybe the trials, maybe the brokenness, maybe the hurts, maybe the obstacles that you are facing, I will change for you. See, what this person says in verse 7 is really the heartbreaking part. The sick man answers. So Christ asks him, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? And I think Christ asks every one of us today, do you want to be made well? And I'm going to ask it again. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? And everybody's like, yes, Abun, I want to be made well. No, no, do you want to be made well? As you go on through the rest of this liturgy, I want you to answer that question with him, not to me. I want you, as you sit or stand during your prayer, I want you to answer that question. He offers that same invitation to me and to you. Do you want to be made well? And what does he say? Sir, I have no man to put me into this pool when the water is stirred, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. Excuse after excuse after excuse will come along. Do you want your anger to change? Yes or no? Do you want your impatience to change? Do you want your difficulties in your families to change? Do you want your hurts and different things to change? Then you need to come before him today as the physician, the one who's able. You don't need the pool. You need him. The pool doesn't exist in Jesus' situation. Like, everybody's waiting for the pool to be stirred up, and Jesus says, y'all are waiting for 38 years for a pool to be stirred up, but I am the one who fashioned the pool. I'm the one who has the stars in the sky made. I'm the one who makes the sun rise, the sun set, the moon to shine, the stars to sparkle. You don't need a pool. You need me. And all of us are hoping for someone else to heal us, someone else to visit us, someone else to do something for us. But Christ is like, come to me. Come to me. Let me be the healer. Let me be the one to visit you. Let me be the person to change your circumstances. And the question is, do we want to raise up our bed and walk? Do we want to take up our bed and walk? Do we want to say, okay, I'm done with sitting around here in the same things. I'm done with doing the same thing over and over again. I'm done. I'm over it. I need something to change. I'm going to take up my bed and I'm going to walk in him. And immediately that man was made well. Immediately his circumstances were different. Immediately, 38 years, forgotten. 38 years compared to that moment. You think that guy, when he picked up his bed and started leaping and jumping and doing all these different things, you think he thought about the 38 years of difficulty? He thought of that, about them, as a moment of a blip now that he's able to walk. Sometimes we get caught up in the past. Sometimes we get caught up in the past circumstances. You know, one of the things that really is the biggest obstacles for many of us, one of the biggest obstacles, we come to God and we say, Lord, forgive me. We come to the priest and the priest prays the absolution on us and he says, you are absolved, you are made new. Christ has erased every sin that you've brought before him. And you know, the hardest thing for many of us is to forgive ourselves. The biggest difficulty for us is to say, I'm forgiven, but can I forgive myself? Can I believe that there is newness of life and change for me? See, the Synaxarium reading today for St. Mary of Egypt, the fourth icon to the left here. This woman, by the way, by definition, she is as far lost as you possibly can imagine. This woman is basically the modern day sex worker. And I'm not saying anything like, oh my gosh, I'm not insulting St. Mary of Egypt. This woman is a modern day, what she would have been in the modern day, is a woman that we find on the streets that no one wants anything to do with her. In fact, actually, when you read her whole life written, it's so vivid and so detailed, and I encourage every single one of you to read the life of St. Mary of Egypt, because how far gone that woman was. And how much God was able to visit her and change her life, and for her to be transformed radically to now be the woman that we say St. Mary of Egypt, the woman who's the intercessor for the most lost of lost people. If God can change St. Mary of Egypt, if God can visit her and transform her heart and move her to be a different person, can he not visit me? This woman, who for many years is caught up, it says 17 years she was doing certain things that were very far off. I don't want to get vivid because there's young kids here, but think about it. The most worst of worst things. And her life has changed through an encounter with Christ, through a visitation of St. Mary, through a visitation of a holy man who comes and says, let me give you the body and the blood of Jesus, and let it be transforming for you. Let it be life-changing. Let it allow you to walk differently for the rest of your life. And I think the thing for us, you know the expression in Arabic? Nasadda. You know the expression in Arabic? Nasadda, to believe. You know, many of us, we know things intellectually, we understand it, but do we actually believe? Do we actually, sadda is like a confidence, like do we actually sadda? Do we actually have this real confidence that if the Lord comes and visits me and says, arise, take up your bed and walk, that I actually can do so? The question for every single one of us is, do I want my circumstances to change? Do you want to be made well? And if you want to be made well, then some things need to be different. Some things need to be different. And only you and I can be the ones to actually stand before God honestly, sincerely, opening our hearts to Him and tell Him the truth. Yes, I want to be made well, Lord. And yes, there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this. And Lord, the Lord never counts. He's not sitting here waiting, like, you know, when your parents would, when I was a kid, my parents, if I did something wrong, they'd be, you did this, and you did this, and you did this, and you did this. And there's like the counting. I'm like, yo, like, how much more? God doesn't count. God says, if you come to me, I will by no means cast you out. If you come to me, I will be the one to encourage you, to uplift you, to push you into deeper loving relationship with me. I'll be the one to actually also help you carry your bed with you. And you know what? When this guy left and he went to offer sacrifices in the temple, because it says that the Lord saw him in the temple, verse 14, he says, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. What can be worse than 38 years of paralysis? Like, what can be worse than that? What's worse than that is losing eternity. What's worse than that is my circumstances here. Like, the average human lifespan is 89 years. 85. For Egyptians, 75. We have high cholesterol, cardiac conditions. 75 years. The average human lifespan is very short. What's worse than living 38 years in paralysis is losing eternity. Eternity. For what? Because I wanted prestige, because I wanted honor, because I wanted wealth, because I wanted to satisfy the lusts of the flesh and gratify the things, because I couldn't say no to a cheeseburger during Lent. Come on, man. A cheeseburger. Because I couldn't discipline my body, and it's not about the food, because I couldn't discipline my body to say no to something so small that of course I can't say no to some things that are really, really gratifying. What's worse that can possibly happen to this man? Is that he would lose his eternity. So the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. And look what happened. Imagine there's a miracle that's happening around us, and he goes and tells everybody of the beautiful thing that Christ has did, and then what does it say? For this reason, Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him. Some of us are like verse 16. We see a miracle, and we can't believe that it actually could happen. We see somebody that's changed and their lives are different, and you're saying, I saw you last year, I saw you last week, I saw what you were doing. We criticize the miracles that are happening in people's lives, and we don't believe that people have the capacity to change. And the most powerful thing about this story today that I want to just close off with is that this man walked away differently. This man was healed. This man was no longer in his condition for 38 years. This man was no longer burdened by hoping somebody else would heal him. He met Christ, and Christ was the one who healed him. Stop looking for answers outside of Jesus. Stop looking for answers outside of him. You have no answer outside of him. There's no one that can change your circumstances outside of him. You think getting more money will change your circumstances? Maybe for a moment. You think more people honoring you will change your circumstances? Maybe for a moment. You think more things that you have will make you happy? Maybe for a moment. But all those things lose their luster very quickly. The only healer is Christ himself. So come to him. Come to him today at the altar. Come to him and say to him today, Lord, I want to be made well. With sincerity, not with a fakeness, not with this is the same thing that I do every single day or every single week, or I've been coming to liturgies multiple times a week for 38 years. No, today, Lord, I want things to be different. I want to come to you and I want to answer the question that you ask me, which is, do I want to be made well? Yes, Lord, I want to be well. And you know what he responds and says? Take up your bed and walk. What are the things that you need to take up? What are the things that you need to get rid of? Take up your bed and walk. Don't live in the same circumstances that you've been living in. And again, when I say you, it's me. I'm talking to myself. So may all of us today be encouraged by his word, encouraged by this beautiful gospel, and encouraged that in week 5 of Lent, that the Lord says to us a very poignant question: do you want to be made well? And if so, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.